The first look at the college football playoff rankings.
Would you rather, as an Ohio State fan, have a home playoff game or a bye into the next round?
It's all coming up on the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
You sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
Nah, I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're presented by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com.
1,500 votes now. 1,500 votes are in. 58%. Right now, leading the way. Your candidate wins.
Yeah, you should have done it a different day. I guarantee a different day they would have voted more for the Super Bowl.
So why do you think that is?
Because everybody's making votes today. They want to feel like they are contributing to, and my wife just texted me, long line to vote.
Yeah.
Great. They want to feel like they are contributing to society and contributing to the greater good. So they're going to say that they stood, if I stood in line for an hour, I'm going to say that the voting counted more for my candidate. Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what.
They're skewed. If I don't remember six months from now or 2 years from now how long I stood in line.
That is going to lead to so much anxiety, man. I can't imagine the amount of stress as you get it. Like, I don't know how you guys are for big football games or a big basketball game or the Guardians were just in the playoffs. What did you feel stress-wise for those games? Or as you're getting older, is it lessening over time?
Unimaginable stress.
I mean, the Browns playoff game.
Unimaginable stress.
The Browns playoff game, really the one after they beat Pittsburgh. I know we were like, oh, house money against Kansas City. But deep down inside, you never know whether you're going to be back. And we have not been back to that level. We have not been back to the second week of the playoffs.
I don't know if anything has been as...
I remember that day I had a lot of anxiety.
It is a top three. Oh, really? See, that day I had anxiety. I did feel last year against the Texans it was more house money. I can't believe we were in the playoffs just last year and we're talking about all this now. I guess that's how it has to happen sometime and it has to happen somewhere. So yeah, I guess so. The game 7 against the Warriors I was terrified from the moment I woke up to the end of the game.
You were sitting right there in that chair?
Yep. I don't know if I was in this specific chair, but I was in this room. And I was terrified the entire day. I got sick. I had Chinese food and I got sick. That's how nervous I was. I don't like to admit that, but it's true.
You're right. That day was not fun. Obviously, what happened
after the game was fun. Nick Wilson came in and took care of me that day. Thank God for Nick Wilson.
Wow.
But you're right. That was not a fun day. You know, it's supposed to be, sports are supposed to be so much fun in the lead up to these games. It's supposed to be a culmination of how much of an investment that you've had in that team over the course of the year. All the highs, all the lows, all the things you've been right about, all the things you've been wrong about. The things you've tweeted, the things you've put on Facebook, the things you've texted your buddies. And then you get to the game, and you're right. Like, sometimes the game is not as bad as the lead up to it.
You guys don't find things to preoccupy your time with?
I did last year before the Houston game. I took Isabella to the library, and it was empty because everybody was getting ready for the playoff game.
That game 7 that day of, I got my first ever iPhone that morning.
You got his
That's what I went and did. I knew that would take X amount of hours, right, to do all the changeover.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it.
And then I went down and covered the watch party for the station. And I was down there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was craziness from then on.
What is going on with this election where I have been dreading? I don't like presidential elections anymore. I've been dreading this day for 4 years.
You're an adult now?
I dreaded 4 years ago. I dreaded that day for 4 years.
You were an adult then.
Yeah.
Too.
Maybe.
What's the last election that you didn't dread?
Oh, God. I did not vote.
I was in college freshman year.
Kerry Bush. I voted in Kerry Bush.
Being on a college campus
I look forward to the
election was something I'll never forget because I was taking poli-sci classes. So it's all we talked about, obviously.
They were playing that, time has come today, song behind them.
And just working at a student newspaper, covering, you know, not that level, but just covering politics in general. And then seeing what happens to a campus of very passionate people or people that aren't passionate who are being told, it's time to get passionate. And you have an awakening. And sometimes that's just a fad. Sometimes you get past it. And some people, it becomes the rest of their life. And obviously this election, just like we were 4 years ago, you're being told is the most important election ever. Boy, SNL did a great sketch about that with Tim Kaine. Essentially, it was a game show.
It was amazing.
Yeah, in really, in concept, it was brilliant because they had people up there for this game show. And it's like, hey, name the person. You got to name the person. And the premise was that it's somebody who's obviously super liberal talking about how it's the most important election of our life. And he's like, really? All right, name this person. And Tim Kaine comes out and they're like, I have no idea. And they're like, really? 4 years ago, didn't you say it was the most important election? Democracy was on the line forever. And you don't even remember who you voted for? It was just 4 years ago for the VP. And it was so true. It was so damn true.
Well, the best was they go, it's Tim Scott. And I go, of course, Tim Scott. And then they go, it's Tim Kaine.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then good.
Then they bring him back out three minutes later. And the host can't remember who it is.
And he goes, I was just out here.
He's like, I was just out here.
That's very good.
I thought about that, too. If you're Tim Kaine, now he is a sitting senator.
Yes.
He is Virginia. People forget he is a senator. He's one of the most powerful 100 men in the world. That's what they always used to say about the senators. And he is in there. That is such a prestigious position. Well, the Ottawa
senators
money.
Haven't won an all. Okay,
they haven't done, you know what.
That's enough.
Binghamton Go senators. Ahead. They had a team, too.
Yep.
So I thought about it. Is that demeaning to him, or does he just appreciate a good joke? Because they're basically saying, you're irrelevant. You were made irrelevant.
He probably loves it. You know why? Because he's a senator that has a lot of power. That means his investments are probably kicking ass and taking names. What does a senator make in base salary?
Well, I think it's
because he's probably a millionaire many times over.
I think it's like 170, 160, 170.
So he's a millionaire many times over, and that people don't even remember that he ran for vice president at one point is probably something that he likes a lot.
And his ticket got more votes. Owen? His ticket won the popular vote.
Here you go again.
174.
Here you go again.
So think about it. You're all invested, and then 4 years later, you don't even remember the guy.
Yep.
Don't even remember. That's why
vice presidents are very hard to get really worked up about.
Yeah, people said Kamala didn't do anything for 4 years, and what did people remember about Pence's 4 years? It's what happened at the end.
Well, yeah, what happened at the end?
What happened at the end is what they remember.
Yeah,
nobody can remember on a daily basis.
No.
So I always do find that interesting. So I think this speaks more to, again, getting back. Like, I know there's the nuclear option. When you're the president, you know, there's certain rights you have the chance to take away or be able to enable. Like, I get all that on a fundamental level of politics. I also know that I'm being told every 4 years, most important election of my lifetime. And the consequences of those elections, sometimes there are some consequences. Can you draw a direct line for certain policy to what actually happens with the economy? A lot of people disagree on that. A lot of very smart economists disagree on that stuff. The Browns winning the Super Bowl is forever, bringing joy to our lives forever. I'm going with the Browns.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Super Bowl. I know how ridiculous that sounds. I know if Jason Barrett picks it up on the 8-8 and says the hosts in Cleveland care more about the Browns winning the Super Bowl than the most important election of our lives. Okay, I'm just willing to go on what I know, which is even if your candidate wins tonight or tomorrow or a month from now and you find out and all the votes are counted and your side wins and the other side loses and you get to rub it in and you get to go on social media and do I told you so. You get to wear your merch, which is still weird to me that there's merch in these things, but you get to do it. Are you truly happy? Because what are you going to do? You're going to watch your cable news network a month from now and they're just going to play comments from the opposing side that are really going to upset you.
Yeah.
You're not going to be happy.
Well, yeah.
The other thing is, like, so you're just saying president. Like, if I think my vote in this, in your questioning, would change if you asked me my local election stuff. Like, do I get to influence, do I get to pick the bond issues that are happening right now that could affect my taxes every day? And I know the president can affect my taxes and all that, too. But like,
but on the local level,
yeah. On the, to me, the local is much more important to me right now than
Than that. There's something on the docket. I have to go stand in line, and I have to make sure I stand there and vote in my town. So yeah, I have to do it.
But I'm not gonna be a hypocrite. I'll be honest. I told Ken this. I think you were a little startled. If I go there and the line's an hour and a half, probably gonna leave. I will come back probably 2 hours later. If the line's an hour and a half again. All right, I did what I could.
Polls close at 7:30.
That's your civic duty?
Do you think I could try it and then try again later?
Yes. You could try again.
I usually don't get back in town until like 7:05.
Oh, the late vote. That is a risky one because I see all the time.
I've never voted that late.
They always talk about Georgia, how if you're in line, they can't kick you out. And they're like, we've been here for an hour and a half. And I'm like, boy, they'll never fix Georgia. People just have to vote and wait in line for 2 hours in a lot of areas in Georgia. And that's just the way it's going to be. And quite frankly, this is my editorial part of me speaking.
Yeah.
Some people want it that way. They want it to be really painful and hard to vote. I get it. It's a race. You want to win. Winning's the only thing that matters to some people. So
yeah. It's a long line. I don't know. I can once I get down, I can usually get in there in and out in 5 minutes. I usually know what I'm doing.
Yeah, 4 years ago I was in and out. 8 years ago, in and out. So this one's interesting.
I stood in one long line. That's when I lived in Tremont. I stood in one long line. And then it messed up my residency, and I had, oh, God, it was a nightmare.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. So, yeah, none of us have voted yet. We will vote later on.
Now, we do have something else later on that's pretty, well, I don't know how important it
is. The college football playoff poll.
Yeah.
The first one.
You mentioned right before we went on the air, and I'm like, well, Ohio State's in the playoff now.
I mean, yeah.
They would have to lose.
Penn State.
They'd have to lose to Indiana and Michigan to equate to them not making it. So they're going to make it. I don't know what to you is the most intriguing aspect of tonight. I guess it's what they do at the bottom, right? Let's see who's, because there are going to be some bad resumes. Like Penn State, what is their resume? They're in the playoff. Penn State is in the resume.
Yeah, and they never beat ranked teams.
They
ever.
Beat USC, who's changing their quarterback. So
did Michigan.
Yeah, what has Penn State done?
They didn't.
So what is going to be new this year with the 12-team playoff, are there going to be some teams at the bottom where you're like, they have done nothing this year, and they are getting to play for the playoff? Now, they'll have to go on the road, and that'll make things all that much tougher, right? So, like, what situation is Iowa State in tonight, Kenny, after losing that tough
game? Well, BYU would probably be the one team in. I don't know if, but I don't think that the Pac-12
would get two.
I don't think the Big 12 is going to get two or get a at large. I don't think they are. It is you. Colorado had a bye week last week, so they had Kansas State and Iowa State lose at the perfect time for them because all they had to do was sit back and watch football, and now they look that much better. Because they're a two-loss football team, and they look that much better for everybody. So, and gosh, I got to tell you, ever since they won that game on that Hail Mary, or at least, you know, they tied it up and then won the game after the Hail Mary against Baylor, they've looked like a different team. They've really taken off here in the second half. Now, I don't know how sustainable it is, but I don't know how sustainable any team in the Big 12 is. I mean, you know, Yormak talks about how any team can beat any team at any time. And it's maybe the closest thing we have to professional style football, but also I think that really hurts the Big 12, and I think that he knows that. Like the SEC, we've always made the argument that the SEC is carried by three really dominant teams at the top, and then somehow they sneak in two others based on, and really at times it's been two dominant teams at the top, and then they sneak in a couple or even three others because of what the reputation of the conference is. The Big 12, I think, the Big 10 has had a smaller reputation about that, but still a very strong reputation. I think, honestly, this year has been great where some of these Pac-12 teams have joined, and they've really struggled. Really have struggled against Big Ten opponents where I think that they didn't think that they would. But the Big 12 doesn't have that. I think a lot of teams feel that if the Big 12 were to get swallowed, or a lot of pundits feel that if Big 12 were going to get swallowed, most of those teams would probably be taken care of fairly efficiently by a lot of teams in the SEC and the Big Ten. Maybe the ACC they would certainly be competitive with, but with the Big Ten and the SEC, they would probably not do as well. So they're going to be guaranteed the one spot, and that might be it. So I think you're looking at right now as many as four Big Ten, four SEC.
That's eight.
One Big 12, that's nine. Then where do we have an ACC, that's 10. Then where do we go from there with the other two?
All right, well, here's one.
Does that mean that there's fifth SEC, another ACC? Because Miami's really good. Clemson just got beat badly by Louisville, so I can't throw Clemson back in there.
I got one projection here.
Okay.
The first one I saw, that On3, which, guys,
they're really good.
Get your mobile site better. I'm sitting there, and sorry. I can't scroll, and it's they do great. They do great commentary, but I can't get there on my phone. It's just
Ari's
just so
on
annoying.
That now, and I like Ari.
So they had Ohio State matching up with Alabama in the horseshoe.
Wow,
in the first round. Who's not watching that? As much as I didn't want crap it.
Well,
I didn't want bracket creep.
We had a guy used to say, "Oh crap it," when I was
being a veteran of the turf at the horseshoe. I will tell you, I would be locked in.
Oh, that's right.
We have both stalked the side. Owen and I have both coached football in the shoe. What do you think of that, Tone?
You've one up me. Yeah. I've only stood on the sidelines.
Yeah.
So then I have Bleacher Report. They have Ohio State in a 5-12 hosting Boise State. They have the four protected by seeds, Georgia, Miami, Oregon, and BYU. BYU's beaten Kansas State and nobody else. They've had one ranked win, and they have them getting a bye. They have Indiana taking on Notre Dame in South Bend in an 8-9 and a 7-10 in Knoxville. They have Penn State and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. They have Texas and Alabama in a 6-11 there in Austin. And so those would be your matchups. I'm trying to see what else we have in terms of a bracket. So I'm saying Oregon 1, thanks to USA Today, 2, Georgia, 3, Ohio State. So they have Ohio State at 3 and Miami at 4. Miami's strength of schedule has been kind of a joke, but they've been impressive. They've been a fun team to watch.
I am fully on the Cam Ward train, and you could put, you know, four cripples out there with him on offense, and I want to watch him.
Yeah.
He's elevated to that point. I want to see if he is worth the hype of that I would like to make out of him for the Browns to figure out how to get him. And in a college football playoff, I think that's the start for a guy like that.
I think this whole new playoff world is going to just be very interesting. Basically, I'm seeing the same 12 teams on three different projections.
Yeah.
So far. The only difference is who's getting the bye, who's getting the home game. And I wonder this. Do you think this is a stupid question? Maybe you do.
I was going to ask you a question, too.
If you are the athletic director of Ohio State, would you rather have...
You're asking what I want to ask?
Ohio State
Mike Vrabel is head coach.
Would you rather have Ohio State with a bye week?
Pick your president.
Or Ohio State with a home game? In the playoffs.
Home game. If you're the AD.
Yeah.
Home game. I don't know why it's all like this. Home game.
But it makes your national championship run that much tougher. You got injuries.
All right. Well, that's what the money's for. Home game.
Okay. Oh. You answered it pretty
why
easily.
Why can't they get a home game if you get the bye week, you should be able to get the home game the next week.
Yeah. Well, they have the bowls. They're hooked into the bowls, right?
It's a bowl game.
Well, then you should have the bowl game at the shoe. And
I do wonder.
Call it the 923 the Fan Bowl. I've already got the trophy, guys.
There you go.
Yeah, I do wonder if there's any potential that changes. Because remember, this playoff format was birthed very quickly, it seemed.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we can do it. Okay, 12 teams, let's go.
They've been doing everything for a sport that did not move or move like a mountain for 148 years, over the last seven, it has, at a blistering pace, where they have made major decisions based on no reasoning whatsoever. I mean, it's just, they went from nobody can take NIL, nobody can do this, to everybody can do it. And I know it's been a giant thing to avoid any sort of litigation, even though good luck with all that. But it's like, my God, you guys have not. It's like you guys haven't thought any of this through whatsoever.
And the fact that they are playing four playoff games to go along with your conference championship game. five more games.
Yeah.
You have to win five games. Back in the old BCS days, you just had your season, and if you were in the Big Ten, you didn't have a conference championship game at the beginning of that, right?
Right.
The Jim Tressel 2002.
Did not have it.
I mean, that is so many fewer games than you had, yeah, you know, when this whole thing started. It is crazy to think about.
But no, I mean, I'd love to come up with scenarios for our friends to make the playoffs, but I'm just, I mean, right now they probably got to win out. Right now I see them. I'm not sure. I imagine Lance Leipold's not thrilled that they lost last week. I would rather a team come in at 8-0 than be 7-1 right after their loss, because it makes you sharp. Winning, it's like what did Woody Hayes was quoted about people saying good things about you. And it's tough to not believe them after a while, and it makes you softer. And I think it sharpens them. So I would imagine that he would like it better if they were coming in at 7-1. But he's a guy who's just trying to win football games. They've had so many injuries over at Kansas that they've had a very disastrous season. But they can certainly be a spoiler. BYU has been fantastic this year. Kalani Sitake, my God. Last year it looked like they were going to be lost in the NIL era. This is something that I think has made it a lot more fun, Anthony. NIL... Boy, I'm not seeing the team. You know, let me take this back. BYU, I think, is probably a pretty good academic school. But the schools that are just so strict academically, like the December decisions to stay and you can't go back on some of the stuff, the transfer rules.
You can't get the transfers in.
It has really just destroyed Stanford football. It's really hurting Northwestern football. I know that Braun had a great season last year, but that might be where it ends. I mean, it hurts really bad. The schools that are a little looser that might not have the type of advantages, I don't know. You're seeing some really nice seasons where guys are willing to go down and play, and if they do really well, maybe they'll bump back up or something like that. But you're seeing some schools turn in some really nice seasons so far. I mean, good God, look at SMU with the ACC. I mean, that was a program that was based off the death penalty when you and I were kids, that was consistently on its ass. And it had a couple of decent years with June Jones. It kind of mixed around a little bit, and then they got Sonny Dykes.
Sonny
did a great job, and you have a good repartee with Sonny. And then it kind of like it was a little bit touch and go. They get into the ACC. They have NIL. They're based there just outside of Dallas or in Dallas, and they've been able to make that jump and do it well. I think it hasn't been as galling and bad as what some people have made it out to be. And again, I go back to what Wetzel had said. It's made it, and we might have talked about this on a previous podcast, that teams that don't finish in the playoff, it's almost like they have their own draft, like they can draft first. Because like a team like Indiana, they had a terrible year last year, had to fire the coach. They went out and they got Curtis Rourke. Well, Michigan would love to have Curtis Rourke. They couldn't really do anything. They were in the middle of a season trying to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, they found a way. Maybe there's
to win in the playoffs.
Maybe this will be interesting where there's a nice equilibrium to where, okay, the top teams have the advantages they have, which is resources, NIL money. But now maybe this next rung of teams have the advantage of our season's over earlier. We're in the portal and we got to get our quarterback.
I think that the most equilibrium out of it would be, I do think, and I know they've had some conversations, it's hard to make the television revenue match. They have to have, I think that they will get to a group of four championship and then everybody else. Maybe they take one team, a group of four plus one championship where it's like, all right, one team gets a chance to be Cinderella because everybody loves a Cinderella. And historically, you know, Boise State in our generation has been the quote unquote Cinderella during that time. Sorry, Owen, but it's the truth. And then I think everybody else will play for a separate national championship, kind of the way that FCS does and D2 and D3 do. I think that's got to be the way it is. And I got to tell you this, they have upped the ante so much on becoming a D1 program. I think they don't want D1 programs anymore to make that jump. That I wonder if we're going to see some of the schools, if they go back down to a group of five championship, does FCS suffer that and they just kind of cut out FCS? It's like, all right, everybody's a part of something. Or do they just leave it how it is?
Yeah, I think
there's only so much television revenue to go around, Anthony, before they finally go, hey, you know what? The Big Ten and the SEC And to a degree, the ACC and the Big 12, they've kind of tapped us out. So what else am I supposed to offer?
I do wish like the MAC. I wish these conferences.
So are you saying that those schools would be playing the FCS schools for a championship?
Which schools?
Like the MAC schools.
Yes.
Okay, because I think the FCS schools would hate that. I got to spend a week in Fargo, man, and they are different about their football up there. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's
and if they've Idaho, got to start,
and you're yes. right,
and that's they've got to start competing Montana. With these MAC schools that
I agree
that can bring in the guys that didn't quite cut it at the Power Five schools.
I totally agree, and for the fan interaction of it, I totally, totally, totally agree. I don't like that there is like who's a great example of it. You know, you go like James Madison.
Okay.
You can have a tremendous year. Yeah. What are you really going to get out of it?
Right.
And you know, you want to be D1. It's like, man, like, I wonder what the long-term payoff is. Like, okay, TV dollars, you have to chase the TV dollars while you have them. But what's really the payoff on all that where it's like, man, national championships are national championships. The Fargo Dome is big. And they have like a small town atmosphere. It's like,
yes.
I just think it's so hard to have a town and a surrounding area support a college football team like that. They do that in high school. It's so hard. And they have that in the Dakotas. And they have that. I mean, when Youngstown State was rolling.
Delaware.
Yeah. Like, yes. Yeah. When Youngstown State was rolling, they had Youngstown, man. Like, it was all there.
Right.
And, like, how do you make that go again? Because it's like, there's programs that move up, and they just don't. Like, Kennesaw State, it might be a while. Sam Houston has done okay here recently. But I just, where do you take it from here after this? And it's like, man, I'd rather play for a championship than play for the Emerald Nuts Bowl. No offense to the fine people at Emerald Nuts, but it's like, I'd rather play for a national champion, quote-unquote national championship.
Yeah, I just think, playoff. Like, I see these MAC schools every week, and you know which conferences are kind of on a similar playing field. I'd like it for those teams to determine who's the best of these teams. There's no NIL money in these conferences.
Well, they're then all you in, just make that its own separate.
Right,
yeah.
Well, that's what they've been some conversation about whether or not that could happen. It's not going to get a huge TV deal. It's not going to be about that.
I remember right. even...
Well, that's love of the sport.
Yeah. Yes. And I remember even D2. We were at... This is when I was doing Ashland basketball. We were at Grand Valley for a basketball game. So they had... We got out... They had like a playoff game, and I forget... I remember it was just a practice. They had a playoff game, and their stadium is like kind of sort of down the way from where their basketball arena is. Their basketball arena, quote unquote, is basically an indoor track. They have a track going around. It's, you know, it's shared. And I mean, it looked like the coolest atmosphere ever. I was like, man, I want to walk over there and go watch that game. Like everybody in the area was there to see Grand Valley State play in that playoff game. And you see those like Montana. You see those atmospheres. I'm like, man, you can't replace that with TV dollars.
I want one of those games so bad. I got Youngstown State last year for a first-round playoff game. I want to go out west. And it takes like 2 days to get to some of these places.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so special is the people that are there. It's the biggest thing in town by far. They care. It's a playoff game. Yep. It's awesome.
That's what they got. All right, that's the end of the podcast. Have a wonderful day. We're brought to you by Extend.